to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, this is going to be part two of the Watchman's Cry program, already in progress. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this malady that is taking place in the present Watchman's universe has to be addressed because, unfortunately, based on what I've observed, the truth has taken a back seat to deception. And that's why hypocrisy and heresy has been allowed to sneak in. And this is why there seems to be confusion right now amongst the remnant body of Christ. Folks, it shouldn't have to be this way. What's white is white. What's black is black. What's pure must stay pure. And what is impure must be kept away from the pure offering of the Word of God and the pure offering of a person who claims to be a watchman who is bringing information that should benefit the people of God. But folks, if the information has falsehood and mixture and mud, then the clarity, the purity of the word then becomes clouded. And the Bible says, therefore come out from among them. We cannot have mixture, folks. Lies and deceit do not belong anywhere in a presentation for God's people. And you can't afford to be listening to information that has mixture of truth because it can lead people astray. And it is leading some people astray. And it's not right, folks. It can lead people into believing the wrong perspective. It can lead people into believing the wrong remedy or give the impression of the wrong remedy or direction. And this will have grave consequences. Now, Nathan, what do you mean the wrong impression or the wrong perspective? This is what I mean, folks. When we look at the landscape of the present climate in America and in the West, and for the most part, the whole world, when we look at the climate, if we're Christians, you can see that it resembles the end time narrative, the things that we were warned about. We can see that prophecy is taking place all around us. Evil has invaded the land. Deception's invading the land. Heresy is invading the land. The lukewarm church is now running rampant throughout the West, throughout the world. And as a Bible-believing Christian, you want to be able to make it. So in order to do that, there's a routine to listen to the Watchman, to get on the internet, and dial in the radio programs that the Watchmen are offering. And folks, let me ask you this question. Why do you do that? What is the reason that that is done for most of you? It is done because you want information to help guide and navigate and help you make decisions, right? You want to know how close it is, the next big event. Because if you've been at this long enough, you know what the threats are, whether it's the grid going down or a big earthquake or an asteroid or the dollar crashing, World War III. Martial law, civil war, there's a lot of possibilities. So you want to know. And you don't want to be wasting your time with falsehoods and information that is presenting an impression that is wrong. Do you, folks? Of course not. And the other thing that I'm noticing is that if the people of God and the remnant of God give the time of day to a radio program because they want information, then that radio program needs to understand that it's a privilege to get behind a microphone and give information to God's people. It's a privilege and a great responsibility. If a person's going to do that and also offer commentary to let the people know of the threats that are potentially out there, and I do notice this, folks, most watchmen, whether they're Christian or not, do know about the list of the threats. They know the potential threats, terrorist attack, dollar crash, and I mentioned a few a moment ago, but most watchmen know the threats, but here's where the dividing line is. This is what I notice. The dividing line of the threat also plays into the perspective and the choice of strategy to navigate into the future. And the choice of strategy is based on the belief of the person that is speaking, the watchman. Their strategy is based on what they believe the answer is. Or the remedy is. They know about the threat, but they also have a belief of the answer to that threat. What do you mean, Nathan? It's about what you believe, folks. Because we either believe that the Constitution is going to save us, it's going to save the United States, or we believe that we're under judgment here in America. It's one or the other. And aside from national repentance, nothing is going to stop it. Not Donald Trump, not Ted Nugent, and not the Patriots. Folks, we either believe that we're in judgment and the cup of iniquity is going to be, it's going to be swallowed down by the participants, by the people of the land, because they have willingly participated in anti-God behavior, ungodly behavior. They've rejected God, and they have to be reckoned with. This thing is going to be reckoned with. It's called judgment, ladies and gentlemen. And I often hear, I notice that there are some watchmen who change their opinion of the remedy being the Constitution or Donald Trump or politics will save us, or it's judgment. They go back and forth. And I notice that they change their opinion based on the day on the calendar or the time of the day. Because one day they talk about judgment, and then the next day they talk about Trump and the hope that he brings. They can't seem to make up their minds. Now, ladies and gentlemen, why is that? Because the reality and the understanding of divine judgment is not for negotiation. And if a person is double-minded about it, if a person waffles about the judgment or Donald Trump back and forth, then that reveals, it illustrates, and it tells us and it shows us that the understanding of divine judgment and the understanding of the mechanics of a divine judgment is not in their fiber. It is not interwoven into their spirit. If a person can waffle back and forth, then they really don't believe it and they're unsure. Because the mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart, and it reveals what is in the heart of man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please think about this. If a person is a watchman, or they call themselves a watchman, and they waffle between those two things, that Trump's going to bring hope, maybe he is, then that means that they're confused about what time it is. It means that they don't possess the correct understanding. So let me ask this, folks. Is that where you want to get your information from? Is that who you want to influence your decision-making? If they don't even know what's going on? Ladies and gentlemen, if a person does not understand what time it is, they're going to walk blindly. And let me just share this. Folks, I know that I know that I know, and nothing is going to change this. I know in my fiber, I know in reality, I know in spiritual reality, I know in the physical world right now, I know that in the divine court of heaven, I know that in the diary of God, in the chronicles of the things of God, I know that this world is under judgment right now. I know that America is under judgment right now. I know that I know, folks. That's what time it is. And no man is going to stop it. And no man is going to cause America to escape the cup of iniquity and sidestep what she has coming to her. It's not going to happen, folks, because I've seen the judgment take place, and I have heard from the voice of God, and he has explained it. And I see what the scriptures reveal about the judgment, if the people humble themselves, has not taken place. That hasn't, folks. So judgment is going to transpire. It's going to go forth. It's going to happen. And no man is going to stop it. No man is going to slow it down. No man is going to sidestep it and steer us around the speed bump of judgment. But today, I hear many talk of remedies and maybes that were not uttered from God. And if these voices do not have God, they are spiritually fatherless. And if a person is spiritually fatherless because they don't get it, then they're going to attract others to be orphans with them. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not a small matter, because many of today's watchmen have allowed themselves broad latitude with their offering. But if it lacks truth and understanding, there is no way that their words are going to be able to navigate through the spiritual reality and the real challenges that you're going to face. Jesus said there would be great deception. Take heed that no man deceives you. But you know, folks, this situation is not new. We have encountered and we have seen this thing take place over and over, where you have the warning of God, you have God communicating from some of his watchmen, and then the majority of the other quote-unquote watchmen or voices or messengers or prophets argue with it and bypass it and ignore it and try to excuse it. They try to hem-haw and talk around it and dance around it. If we go to the book of Isaiah chapter 9, there's something written here that Isaiah faced with the people of his time. Could you see, folks, when you are listening to a watchman talk about the mess America's in, for example, if you hear a watchman talk about how bad the economy is and all the layoffs, all the shopping malls closing down, all the businesses that are shutting down, shutting their doors, and every few days, every few weeks, every few months, we get another report of the other businesses going under. Macy's is cutting their losses. They're going to shut down some stores. Barnes & Noble is going to shut one-third of their stores in the next few years. Walgreens is shutting stores. We can go down the list and see that America is falling apart. Their economic strength is going away. And when you hear a watchman talk about it, if when you're hearing them talk about it, you do not hear the reason why, then that shows how blind their voice is. Because when we look at Isaiah chapter 9, look what it says. Verse 13, Isaiah 9:13. Now, first of all, folks, the reason that businesses are shutting their doors in America and going bankrupt is because God is spanking America. God is chastising America. God is allowing it to happen. It's a divine spanking from heaven. And the reason for the present weather that's taking place is so that man can turn back to God, so that man can repent while it's taking place, so that they can get it. Oh, wow, God's trying to get our attention. We need to repent. Now look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 13. For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. See, this is what's going on now, folks. The people aren't turning to God, and they're not associating the destruction of America's once prosperous position on the planet and the earth as a producer nation, as a powerful nation, as a nation that consisted of blue-collar workers, of a strong middle class. That's all gone away because we're under judgment. So when the watchmen talk about it, do they associate the job loss with God's spanking? See, folks, how often do you hear the two put together? And that's what it says right here. The people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off the head and the tail from Israel. Now, in this example, it's talking about Israel, but this applies to God's people today. The Lord will cut off their head, palm branch, and bulrush in one day. Verse 15, the elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of the people cause them to err. The prophet teaches lies, and the leaders of the people cause them to err. And those who are led by them are destroyed. You see, folks, today's present watchmen do have a voice. And if they are bringing us the warning of what time it is, they are also acting in the position of leadership to lead, because they are offering advice. To offer advice that is financial or advice that has to do with relocating or doing something with your lifestyle and your living situation, that falls under the category of leading. But it says right here, the prophet teach lies and the leaders of the people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are then destroyed. Therefore, the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on the fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. Their mouths, out of the mouths of the watchmen, foolish words come forth. Folks, this is no small matter. This is serious. This is serious. The watchmen out there have a responsibility, and if they are not bringing the truth and not leading God's people to the trough of truth and his word, then what is the purpose? Is it just entertainment? Is that all it is? You know what, folks? I have a feeling, based on the communication that I've had with many of you, those of you that are regular listeners have a hunger for the Word of God, and you have a hunger for your relationship to be nourished and strengthened. You have a hunger to navigate through the days ahead correctly, with wisdom. You have a hunger to have God involved in your decision making. You have a hunger to make the right choices. You have a hunger for God's covering to be over you. You have a hunger to dwell in the secret place, for God's angels to be stationed around your property, around your house, to protect you and your family. You have that hunger, folks. So in order for us to get there, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot be listening to error that's out there. Now, I read verse 13, the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. This is occurring now, folks, because many watchmen are not associating the present house of cards that is about to tumble with the judgment of God. And I'm noticing that there are some of them that have converted to the Trump bandwagon. And they've stated that he is the new hope. And they offer advice. On some programs, they offer advice, but they disregard the cup of iniquity, which is going to be poured out upon America. Folks, when God's judgment gets going in America, the rest of chapter 9, verse 18, for wickedness burns as the fire. It shall devour the briars and the thorns and kindle the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like rising smoke. That's what's coming, folks. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land is burned up, and the people shall be as fuel for the fire. and no man shall spare his brother. Folks, we are living in very serious days. Very serious. And you cannot afford to be juggling truth from lies and playing hopscotch around the lies to try to grab the truth. Folks, we don't have time for that. Now, I want to talk about something else. I want to shift gears now. Speaking of that, we have been reading in Ezekiel 33 about the earthly appointed physical watchman who still needs to tell the truth. He can't lie. He can't make things up. But in summary, for that individual in that position, that person is not necessarily a Christian always. So you need to have discernment to know if they're telling the truth. Because it's obvious. Some aren't telling the truth, folks. And when we look at the ones out there who say that they're watchmen, there's a tendency to quote Ezekiel 33. If the watchman sees the sword come and he doesn't blow the trumpet and the people aren't warned, their blood will be on his hands. That's Ezekiel 33, verse 6. So some watchmen announce that. And they say, I have joined the watchman universe. Well, they don't use those words, but they announce that they're a watchman. They're on a radio show. I'm a watchman, and this is what I do. And they announce that their job is to warn. That's good. They should announce that. But the part that many seem to ignore is about truth, ladies and gentlemen. The verses in Ezekiel 33, 1 through 6 apply to an earthly watchman. Could be secular, but it still has the requirements of truth. Crying wolf is not allowed. So that's the first type. That's something to consider, ladies and gentlemen. So when you listen to the alternative media, when you go to the YouTube channels and you get on Facebook and you hear the offerings out there, and there are hundreds of them. Folks, there's not just one or two or five or ten. There are hundreds out there. Make note of what I'm saying right here. But now I want to shift and move on to the other kind of watchman, because earlier I said not all watchmen are the same, and there are two kinds. The first one is appointed by the people. Make note, folks. If you're taking notes, appointed by man. If you have your Bible, make note of this. And I also want to say this, folks. The next type of watchman that we're going to read about is not very common. This means that there are not a lot of them. Now go to verse 7, Ezekiel 33, 7. Look what it says. God then says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, if the people set up their watchman and he does this, this, and this, God was showing the contrast of an earthly watchman, and then he gets to verse 7. And look at this, folks. God explains to Ezekiel that his job as a watchman is divinely ordained. In other words, it is a calling. Now watch this, folks. Ezekiel 33:7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now make note, ladies and gentlemen, Ezekiel in verse 7 is shown to be a different kind of watchman that God himself placed in office. Son of man, I have set thee as a watchman. It was a divine calling made by God. It was not an appointment of man like the previous watchman. It was not, and it was not a secular job, and it was not appointed by the people or a council or other watchmen. It was ordained of God. That means that Ezekiel did not need to have the permission of other quote-unquote watchmen. He didn't have to have permission from the watchmen who are out there who saw themselves as an authority to the job. Ezekiel answered to God, ladies and gentlemen. He was ordained of God. He was called of God. It was a divine appointment. He was called of God, and God set him in place. And Ezekiel did not have a choice. Because when God calls someone, they either obey the calling or they're going to die in rebellion. This means that there are some watchmen out there in the world who have been divinely called of God to do the task. Now, out there in internet land, there are some people who call themselves a watchman. But now, here's the question, folks. Are they a secular watchman appointed by the people, or a secular watchman that just decided they wanted to do it? They went. Or are they a watchman divinely called of God? Now, before you answer that question, just let it sit there for a moment. Just let it sit, folks. Are the watchmen out there called or appointed by man? Now, think about it, because there is other criteria that will help us to determine the answer to this question. Now, brethren, we can know the answer. We can know if they are divinely called. When we examine them, when we hear them, when we listen to them. We can know. But I want to first establish right now that there's a difference. Now, folks, if you're taking notes, write this down. There are two kinds of watchmen. There's two kinds. The watchmen of men and the watchmen appointed by God. Not all watchmen are the same. Now, I did not say that some of them are better than others. I didn't say that if they're divinely called, they're better than the ones that aren't divinely called. I did not say that, folks. But I will say this. Some watchmen have the favor of God that others do not. And this is proven by their fruits. And it is proven in their words. And it's proven in their history, in their track record. Now, ladies and gentlemen, are you still with me? Ezekiel 33:7. See thou, O son of man, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now, folks, make note of the things that were mentioned in verse 7. God says that Ezekiel will hear. He will hear a thus saith the Lord. What is that? That's a word from the Lord. That's a word from God. That's a word from the throne room. That's a word from the Spirit. That is a word from God. Let's move on and look at what God tells Ezekiel he has to do. Because the first watchman that we read about told us that he was appointed by man. He's up on the watchtower and he's supposed to look. And if he sees anything, he warns. He blows the trumpet. Now let's look at what God tells Ezekiel he has to do. In verse 8, look at this. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If you don't speak to warn the wicked from his way, from his evil way, then that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. And his blood will I require at your hand. You see, folks, God told Ezekiel, if I show you that someone's out of line, that someone has strayed, that someone is going the wrong direction, that they're living in wickedness, I am going to use you, Ezekiel, to go warn them and tell them and to pull them back unto the path. There are wandering sheep. I'm going to use you to bring them back. They're a backslider. I'm going to use you to bring them back. They're away from me. They have fallen into deception. They have left the narrow path. And I'm going to use you to bring them back, Ezekiel. And it's your job to do it. And if you don't, their blood will be on your hands. See, folks, that's what God was telling Ezekiel. It's about sin. Ezekiel's job was to pull people away from being backslidden or wandering or those who were in error or those who were walking in deception. Now, look at verse 9, Ezekiel 33:9. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked from his way to turn, and if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. You have delivered your soul. You see, folks, a watchman that has been appointed by God does not only look to the horizon and share what they see. It's not the only thing they do. A watchman that is divinely called of God also addresses error in the church. Error within God's people. Error in the direction that God's people are participating in. That's his job. Because God places that concern in that watchman's heart. God will place the concern of sin in a watchman's heart. And the watchman has no choice. He has to point it out. That's what Ezekiel had to do. Verse 10. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel. Or in other words, say to my people. Say to my church. Say to my remnant, say to my brethren, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us and we pine away in them, how can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? You see, God pleads through Ezekiel that they would turn back. God doesn't take pleasure in the death of his people. So before he allows destruction to come, he will send his watchman messenger to them. He will do this, ladies and gentlemen. Now, doing this task is never easy. Accomplishing the task to warn God's people that there's error going on is never easy because it's usually met with resistance. And it's usually not popular because others who observe the watchman like Ezekiel saying that there's error taking place will become angry. And usually the watchman who is trying to point out the error will be outnumbered. Now, ladies and gentlemen, today in these end times, we are in a battle that is spiritual. And there are invaders from the invisible realm that are working overtime to derail the remnant of God. There are invaders from hell that want to destroy you. They want to destroy your family. They want to destroy God's people. They want to lead them astray. And our number one task, your number one task, if you're a child of God, is to endure faithfully with Jesus, no matter what the cost is. And in the journey that we have before us, there's going to be deceptions that are placed before us to confuse God's people. But praise God, ladies and gentlemen, we also have the Holy Ghost. We also have Jesus. And we also have the gift of discernment with the Holy Spirit to help us navigate and walk around the deception and through the deception. But that battle is raging right now, folks. It's against the powers of darkness. And the powers of darkness do not like you, and they don't like this ministry. But folks, we're going to prevail because we are not children of darkness. God told Ezekiel, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth. Ezekiel was set by God, and God says, therefore, hear. Ezekiel also had the ears to hear the voice of God. He had a relationship with God because God gave him the spiritual gifts and the spiritual ability and the prophetic ability and the prophetic anointing and the Holy Spirit tools to hear his voice. Ezekiel was not a normal person. He heard God. When other people do not hear God, Ezekiel heard God. And in order to accomplish the task that Ezekiel had, he needed to have ears that were open to hear God's voice. And when he heard God's voice, the voice would tell Ezekiel that there were some in sin. Verse 8 tells us, when I say to the wicked, wicked man, you shall die. Go talk to them, Ezekiel. If I show you, tell you that there's error, you have to go do it. So Ezekiel not only had the commission and the assignment and the calling to challenge people and tell them what was going on and what was going to come, Ezekiel had the prophetic gift and the prophetic anointing to know what was going to happen because God told him. And Ezekiel also knew this. There was no room for compromise. There was no room for messing with the truth. There was no room for allowing deception. There was no room to allow embellished words. There was no room to trample truth to the ground. Because Ezekiel knew that if he failed, God would kill him. God said, his blood will I require at your hand. God would kill him. Folks, when a person has the true prophetic watchman calling, they understand the terror of the Lord. And they understand that you don't play games with God. They understand that you can't dance around mixture. You can't dance around the words of Baal and the ways of Baal and the religion of Baal and paganism. You can't do that because it's serious, folks. And when we look at the responsibility of Ezekiel, he called sin, sin. He called wickedness, wickedness. He didn't hold back. He didn't pull punches because he had a job to do. And if he didn't do it, God would be mad at him. He would answer to God. He would stand before God. He understood the terror of the Lord. He understood that God was serious. He knew that the assignment could not waver to the left or to the right. And ladies and gentlemen, a true watchman of God understands this. A true watchman of God, and by the way, there are not many out there. There aren't. But a true watchman of God understands that there is a standard that must be carried, a standard that must be the plumb line, a standard that must be sought. A true watchman does not compromise, ladies and gentlemen. And when we look into the scriptures of some of the references of watchmen in the Old Testament, we often see that when it says call the watchman or set up the watchman or tell the watchman to go up on the wall, we also see in the context that the watchman must also set up a standard. And we can find this in Jeremiah 4, verse 6. Now watch this, folks. Well, let me go back one verse. In Jeremiah 4, verse 5, declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say. Now, God is talking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was also a watchman. Say, blow the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the fortified cities. Verse 6, set up the standard toward Zion. Take refuge, do not delay, for I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. So in verse 6, set up the standard. The standard. If you were to do a word study on the word standard in the Old Testament, we find this over and over. The standard is also a part of the watchman's blowing the trumpet. When the watchman called of God, the messenger of God said the destruction was approaching. He was also supposed to blow the trumpet. Let's move forward in Jeremiah 4:20. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is plundered. Suddenly my tents are plundered and my curtains in a moment. How long will I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? You see, folks, the word standard is a part of the warning. Standard, the standard of God, the minimal. A standard is what we must attain to. The standard is the rules, the principles, the statutes. And we see this over and over in Jeremiah 50, when it talks about the destruction of Babylon. We also, now watch this, folks, in 50 verse 2. The word of the Lord spoke against Babylon by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard. Proclaim and do not conceal it. See, again, ladies and gentlemen, there is a standard in the eyes of God. In the next chapter, chapter 51, this is still the reference to end time Babylon, which is America. Jeremiah 51, verse 12. Now, look how it says it right here. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon. Make the guard strong. Set up the watchmen. So the watchmen also have the standard. And when we look and examine the word standard, the meaning of the word standard has actually three different meanings. The word standard also means banner. And it also means sign, the token from God. So the word banner, set up the banner of God, that same word for standard and banner, when we look at the reference of the banner of the Lord, then we can go back to the book of Exodus when Moses was fighting the Amalekites and he held his rod over his head. Remember that account where as long as his arms were held up, they had victory. But when he lowered his arms, then the Amalekites started prevailing. So Aaron helped to hold his arms up with another person. And then the children of Israel had victory. Now that account happened in Exodus 17 verse 15 when Moses held his arms up. And after they had victory, it says in Exodus chapter 17 verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. And the Hebrew word for the Lord is my banner is Jehovah Nissi. So the banner of the Lord is the standard of the Lord. The Lord is our banner, ladies and gentlemen. And when the watchman lifted up the banner at the wall to warn the people, the banner represented the Lord. It represented the name of the Lord. It represented the protection and covering of the Lord. So when a watchman says lift up the standard, it means several things. It means the standard of God, the holy righteousness of God, lift him up over the city to warn the people and also to acknowledge that God is going to be involved in what happens from that point on, because they needed God involved. They needed God to have their back. They needed God to protect them. They needed God to bring deliverance. And for us, ladies and gentlemen, here in America, we need the Lord to be lifted up as our banner over America. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen. And we know that. But if the watchmen of God who are out there do not understand that this thing is a partnership with God, it is a holy, righteous partnership with our Lord. And you know what, folks? The Lord, if he is our banner, is a holy God, and he will not place himself, and he will not endorse something that does not acknowledge his righteousness, that does not seek to achieve his righteousness. God can't bless it. So let's bring that back to the job of a watchman, and one that is divinely called of God. A divinely called watchman has several things that make up his divine appointment. He has been called of God. It was divine. It was a calling. It's not a job. It's not an occupation. He has no choice. And also, folks, he hears from the word of God. He can hear the voice of God. And he hears the instructions. And he also lifts up the banner of holiness and righteousness. The true watchman of God talks about holiness. You will hear them speak about holiness and challenge the people to live righteous and challenge the people that without the righteousness of God as part of your equation, you will not make it, because we won't. We need the righteousness of God, the banner of God, the holiness. And that's why Psalms 91 is so important. We cannot have Psalms 91 without the holiness of God, by dwelling in the secret place. And when a person dwells in the secret place of God, that's the prayer closet. And that's where they will find out that there are things in their lives that shouldn't be there. And that's where God illustrates and shows us and reveals that our hearts are not where they're supposed to be. That's where God helps us in our relationship. That's where God cleanses us, and he can cleanse you. So ladies and gentlemen, a true watchman of God will deliver all of these things in a buffet of truth. He will deliver these words in a buffet of information, in an offering, in a table in the wilderness to show God's people that, hey, you're not alone. God's banner can be there for you if there's a desire to live by his standard. And if there's a respect for his holiness, if there's a drive, an inner commitment to want to live for Him. Ladies and gentlemen, not all watchmen are the same. God told Ezekiel, when you hear the word of my mouth, a true watchman of God hears. They don't imagine. They don't make it up. They don't fabricate it. They don't make a counterfeit of it or substitute it or pull it out of their imagination. A true watchman of God hears the word of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. And out there, in the alternative media, there are some who are watching. There are some of them who are wondering. There are some of the watchmen who are waiting. There are some of them that are whispering. And be warned, ladies and gentlemen, there are some who are pretending. But this is what I have to say to God's people tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, while you hear these words, please take this to heart. In addition to those, there are also some with a word from the Lord. They have the word of the Lord because they heard the word of the Lord. They heard God whisper to them. They heard God speak to them in a still small voice. They heard God speak to them when they set themselves aside and sought Him. There are some out there with a word from the Lord. But what is it? Brethren of the faith, what is that? What is a word from the Lord? A word from the Lord does not fall to the ground. And having a word from the Lord is the fruit and the proof that what you're hearing is genuine. Because a word of the Lord is never born in the mind of man. But a word will reach into the spirit of those listening. And it will quicken the listeners. And it will stir them with inspiration that stokes the fires of a sleeping soul. An anointed word of God will enlighten the eyes with hope, and it will tear down the cloak of fear. And a word of the Lord has wings, and it will reach into the farthest reaches and whisper to the wanderer that is away from God. The word of the Lord is the geyser of the Spirit, and it burns within the bosom, and it resonates in the soul, and it ignites the heart, because it's Holy Ghost unction, and it is able to reach out like a hammer and crush the fallow soil of a hardened heart and allow the light of God to enter. The word of the Lord has power to touch the doubting ones, to arrest the rebellious ones, and to calm the fearful one. Why? Because it rides on the mantle of the Holy Ghost, and it travels like the wind to the one that's burning with torment. The word of the Lord, who can know it? It cannot be tamed, and it cannot be harnessed, because when it flows, it crushes the opposition, and it proves itself, and it bears witness that God is real, that God is among us, and that God has sent it, and that the messenger is His servant and His child. And that, my friends, you cannot fake. You can't fake the anointing. Because it's either here or it's not. It's either real or it's not. It's either present or it's not. And it's either flowing or it's somewhere else. Waiting in the holy censer of God's throne room. Waiting to be issued to those who treasure it. Because, my friends, the word of the Lord is a treasure. It's a priceless nugget that contains the breath of God. And the word of the Lord, it is beautiful. The word of the Lord, when it is sent out, is a morsel. It's a morsel of His wisdom, and the word of the Lord contains the heartbeat of God. And it's a small glimpse of who He is, what He wants to do in our lives, in our land, in our world. Because the word of the Lord is a serving from the orchard of His goodness. And when it's heard, it satisfies the bones. And it fills the heart because it's real. And it shows us that God is real. And it testifies that you can make it. When a servant of God has the witness of our Lord, you will hear Jesus in the words. And you will hear the hope of His majesty. And you will hear His peace. Because His word is powerful. And it's able to sear and it's able to tear down the walls of opposition and break them. It's able to open up the resistance. It's able to break the chains of bondage. It's able to remove the scales from the eyes. It's able to make one shout yea and amen. And it's also able to make another cry out, woe is me. Because it can show us that we're undone. But when it does, it opens the floodgates of the dry-eyed one. And it makes the sinner quiver. The word of the Lord brings conviction from the Holy Spirit. And it makes one swallow down the weeper's gulp. And it refuels the passions that have been lost and forgotten. A word of the Lord that comes from the Holy Spirit. It nourishes the heart and it gives witness that you are not alone. And if you are one of His children, you will know the real from the counterfeit. And you will know a word from His throne room because it's beautiful and it's poetry. And it shines with the light of God. And it drives away darkness, fear, and oppression. And it banishes anxiety and offers hope. So my friends, be of good courage and seek the Lord. Be of good courage and know that you're not alone. So my friends, lift up your hands toward heaven and lift it in faith. Because true faith, real faith, never-ending faith, is the hand that reaches up to God and never, ever returns empty. And that, my friends, is a word of the Lord for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. And God, I ask that you would let it settle the hearts of the listeners and let it give confirmation. Let it bring healing. God, give us wisdom. Open our eyes and reveal your heart to us, God. For those that are hurting, for those that are wandering, for those that are confused and wounded, touch them and reveal to your people, God, that you do forgive, that your blood can wash away the stains and the sins and the failures. God, bring your love down and touch every person listening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, a true watchman of God is called. And he fears the Lord, and he does not fear men. And he seeks to please the Lord, not men. And he has the voice of conviction, and he speaks with boldness, because he's been with Jesus. And he doesn't sidestep sin and heresy, and he lifts the banner high. He holds up the standard of God. A true watchman of God possesses a thus saith the Lord. And he has no choice because he is called, and he must share what he sees because it burns in his bones. Ladies and gentlemen, a true called watchman of God has words that don't fall to the ground because they are a word from the Lord. And they have prophetic gifts and they can see what's coming. And when they see it and they share it, it makes them tremble. They know the terror of the Lord because God took them aside and he showed them his power. And they know that there's no partiality with God. They know that God lifts up and tears down. And they know that if one abuses their post, God will tear them down. Ladies and gentlemen, let the Holy Spirit within you bear witness. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you the watchmen of God and those that are on the wall with a calling, with a burden, and those who are on the wall with a desire to please Him, and those who are on the wall with a concern for the lost souls and the backslider and the sheep who have wandered away. Allow God to show you, folks, because He will. Let Him show you. Well, I hope that these words will land where they're supposed to, will take root where they're supposed to, will explain and reveal and encourage, because it's a word for you, ladies and gentlemen. God loves you, and God wants to see you through. And as long as I'm on the wall, folks, I am going to obey my calling. And I want to thank all of you that are out there that do appreciate this ministry and that do know, that do see that God is working. For those of you that bear witness with it, I thank you for the prayers that you offer and the words of encouragement, and also for the support that you give us to help us to continue. Folks, thank you so much for being there for us. It hasn't been easy over the last few weeks. It hasn't. It's been a lot of tears shed, but that's okay, because there's a job to be done. We appreciate your support, folks. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com contact us there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. God loves you. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
My body.